immortal words of the sister Jill Scott, I'ma go ahead and be great. Why not? Welcome, bienvenue, another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. MrShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lucien Big Daddy Labrador. Today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this day, February 15, 2026. Happy belated Valentine's Day for those of you who celebrate. Or give a fuck. So I'm just thinking about whether I should give a fuck. Quick disclaimer. We need to start out with a disclaimer that this episode, gotta warn you, is also rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. That's my way of saying that on this episode, we decenterize whiteness. I got to remind myself to do that, you know, because I grew up in Ottawa. Yes, continuing with tradition, I would like to add, well, first, shout out to all you listeners. Yeah, I'm glad you logged on, came on, and came back. And as usual, I'm going to ask you to applaud yourselves. That's right. It's a tradition of mine because if you're a member of my target demographic, you're likely the kind of person who celebrates everyone except their own selves. And this is not me preaching to you. I struggle with that myself. It's also a reminder, you know, we're reminding each other. Take the time to applaud your own selves. And if this happens to be your first time listening to this podcast, welcome. That's right. That includes those of you who might have clicked on this podcast by mistake, thinking I was the other Shut Up Podcast. assuming you stick around, I won't take it personal if you leave, but assuming you stick around, here's hoping I say something on this episode that resonates and allows us to make history. ShutUpPodcast.com is the website. ShutUpPodcast401@gmail.com is the email address. In today's episode, well, episode 323. I'm tripping. I swear I'm sober. I swear. Episode 323. Yeah, I struggle with trees. I'm gonna talk about how I'm feeling speechless after finishing reading the book Lightbringer by Pierce Brown. Not to be confused with Pierce Morgan. I kept confusing the two names. Pierce Brown, the author of the Red Rising series. And before I do that, we're going to start with some quotables and some randomness. Excuse me. All right. I feel the need before I start out. I'm going a little off script, but I feel the need to talk about how, I talked about on the last episode how I changed my setup and I made some more improvement. I got myself the Rode PS, what's it called? Damn it. Is it PSA-1? PSA mic stand? Feeling like a pro. But I gotta be honest with you, man. It's holding up my Shure SM5B. Damn, it's a good thing you guys don't know my address. Like, I'm begging you to rob me. Anyways, yeah. it makes me feel like a pro, bottom line. At the same time, I have the mic, I have a camera going, OSB Studio playing on my right monitor, and my notes on my left monitor. The plan is to also got the Jingle Palette that plays my sound effects. Shit like
you must learn.
Yeah, things like that. I slimmed it down. My intention is to buy an actual sound machine because the software thing. You know what? Because I can. Anyways, I just feel a bit more organized. With that said, On the last episode, I was talking about how I was recovering from a cold. Well, it might be, that cold might be doing a comeback, might be making a comeback. I've been drinking a lot of tea, a lot of water. And this time what happened, this is my theory. I went to bed high, you know, shout out to marijuana, Mary Jane. I have a tendency to forget to drink, to ignore that part of me that says, hey, nigga, I'm thirsty. And so I went to bed thirsty, and I could feel, I don't know what's going on. I can't explain the science behind it, but I woke up and like that, those sinus relief commercials, I feel like that commercial, like that area is all like, I feel like tomorrow I'm going to feel the wrath of a cold, or maybe if I get some good night's sleep, we'll see how it goes. Anyway, that's where I'm at. I felt the need to share that with you. And, I keep forgetting. It's my goddamn podcast. It's my goddamn podcast. So, yeah. All right. So, yeah. Quotables. I'm undiagnosed ADHD. I should, my ADHD is kicking in, gang. All right. Not that it's an excuse. But I feel the need to share that with you. All right, okay, let's go. Quotables. What do I have first? It's, why did I write the name Pam Bondi? Oh, okay. Okay. The quote, this one goes, you will never understand why they did it. Your mind doesn't work like that. You're not a demon. And, just give me a second. Oh, my God. Day one of recording, when I'm endless. It's my nose. It's like, whew, there's some demon in there. Where was I? Oh, yeah. You will never understand why they did it. Your mind doesn't work like that. You're not a demon. I mean, this is so applicable in so many ways because I do try to understand the motivation of other people because, you know, thinking that I have this theory that we all want the same thing, and I figured if I could understand what your motivation is, then maybe we could find peace in the same way. But with that said, I bring up Pam Bondi because I was thinking about not just her, but the Trump administration. It's a thought that I've had for a while, and Trump would be a dangerous enemy for me, like if battlefield-wise, and like if we were two generals, he would whip my ass because I can't, because he's doing a lot of dumb shit. And my brain struggles to believe that this motherfucker, did he really luck his way into the presidency? Like, part of me wants to believe that, needs to believe, I think it's the white supremacy, I'm affected by white supremacy. Like, the whole, he's playing dumb. The whole ignorant thing is he's just, it's all an act. Deep down inside, he's playing a character and he's surrounded by advisors saying, yes, keep playing stupid and whatever and whatnot. Because I remember bringing it up and someone said that it's probably both. He's probably an idiot and evil at the same time. But I'm thinking about Pam Bondi because she was in the news recently and she was at, what do you call that, a congressional hearing. And she handled that shit like a child. Someone, I read this post. Oh my God, I forgot that I'm in quotables. Right, okay, I'm getting off tangent. But I'm going back to, I need to accept that I will very unlikely understand their motivation. That's where it comes down. There are people on this planet that I'm just going to have to give up. And the reason why it bothers me is because I grew up on, or I used to be a fond believer, a big believer of, I don't know if I should say fond, but a big believer in the notion that seek first to understand, then be understood. But the older I get, the more I'm realizing that shit doesn't apply to every human being. Some motherfucker we're both gonna die never understanding each other's motivation, or I will never understand their motivation. Next quote. I make sure I got this all in line. What are the greatest cheat codes in life is assuming everything is happening in your favor. Lost the deal, you learned the lesson. Someone broke up with you, you dodged a bullet. When you start seeing life happening for you instead of to you, your life will change. You know, I appreciate this quote because it reminded me of my Christian days. And this is the... I'm laughing at my thoughts. This is probably one of the few times I'll say something nice about Christianity. But no, I do... One of the things that I've held on, even though being a former Christian, some of the things that I've held on, but this one has been a struggle, is the idea that my life is ordained and everything is working in my favor, even when it doesn't feel like it, especially when I don't feel like it. So I do believe that this shit is a life hack. And yeah, things just work out. So I like that one. Next one. You're going to piss a lot of people off when you start doing what's best for you. Do it anyways. Yeah, that's been a tough one to manage, especially if you grew up with parents who said the only goal of kids is to obey their parents. Yeah, not just, I mean, you know, that notion, it's not, I'm not picking on my parents, but a lot of parents instill in their kids that, yes, your only value in life is obeying me because I know what's best. And then you become a teenager and you're like, you know what? Oh, man, not so much. And then they fight with you and be like, no, I do. You just don't get it. All right, okay. Next one goes, I got a lot of quotables for today. Well, more than usual. Next one goes, I love this one. Stop translating your soul for people who can't read. Namis. It's labeled Namis. And the reason this one hits me is because I think about the people who never had any intention of getting to know you or understanding your soul. And it also goes back to the first quote of, I used to be a big believer in seek first to be understand and be understood. Yeah, motherfuckers ain't trying to return that favor. They'll appreciate you understanding them, but it ends there. But I could make a whole episode about that, but and I won't. Last one, I believe. Yeah, last one goes, when something bad happens, you have three choices. You can let it define you, let it destroy you, or you can let it strengthen you. Says the guy in therapy. So this one's crossed my mind because I was one of the subreddit on public speaking. This one person, he was talking about how he did a presentation, a Toastmaster presentation, and he was really beating himself up on how bad he felt, or they felt they did. And at the bottom, the last question was, hey, do you guys have any tips? And I got to be careful not to give people tips that I know I won't apply or that I should be applying, you know, not feeling hypocritical. But I thought of this quote, this thought, this idea, because it's I say quote, but I've heard it before. When something bad happens to you, you have three choices. You can let it define you, let it destroy you, or let it strengthen you. And yes, I think about it'd be equivalent to like bombing. We've learned a lot. Yeah. During my comedy days, I remember reaching the conclusion that yes, bombing is not the worst thing that can happen to you. Only if you allow it to define, like if you allow one bombing on stage to be, oh, I guess I'm not a good comedian. Then yeah, this is the reason why I have the theory that the difference between a comedian and a funny person is a comedian is willing to come back after bombing. After making a joke they thought was going to be hilarious and everyone is like, cricket, cricket, cricket. So, but that's just my theory. Don't listen to me. You know, I could hear some experience, some comedian who's done comedy for a long time. And like, well, that's not true. Because that's how comics do. All right, that's it. That's it for quotables. Now let's do some randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
I'm also enjoying how much I've tightened up the some of my sound effects. But yes, but you know what? Let me just give myself a yay! It's growth, kids. It's all about growth. Growth. That's what this podcast is about. All right, randomness. First things first. Ah, papa freaks all the honey. All right, okay. Sound clip of the week.
I support ice.
That's crazy, bro.
I don't know what's crazy about this.
Yeah, I'm going to punch you.
You're going to punch me?
Yes.
And you're going to get in trouble for that.
Okay.
It's that pow. It's that pow I wanted to... All right, I guess I'll leave the that clip comes from a viral video. The title goes viral video purportedly shows. Is that another way of saying allegedly? Yeah, free the homie. Shows student holding a pro ice sign getting punched by another student at the Lake Zurich High School. So shout out to Lake Zurich High School for that sound effect. And free the homie. Okay, I guess I should give some context for those of you who are not aware. But apparently, at this high school, some kid was walking around. Some content creator kid was walking around, because it makes sense when I say content creator, with a sign saying "I support ICE" and letting all his high school colleagues know that he's a supporter of ICE. And then one dude who spoke on behalf of me and the rest of us decent human beings said, you know what, dude, I'm going to have to punch you for this one. He's like, well, you know you're going to get in trouble. I know. Pow. And it's like, again, on the thing of people you will never understand, there are people who take pleasure in other people's pain, and there's the rest of us who are, like, bothered by that. And then why is it always us who need to regulate our emotion? Why is it always the people reacting who always need... you know what? When they go, whatever. It's a rant. It's a rant.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right. So I need to plug my last episode, The Biggest Hater, episode 322, The Biggest Hater. And I was spitting a lot of like unfiltered thoughts on that one. And I was, because, you know, I think about my own podcast. I was in the showers and I was thinking about this thought. And I was thinking about this thought of, so the whole episode is about how I'm my biggest hater and the hatred I have towards myself. And I was remembering how the relationships I was thinking about all the relationships I was in while hating myself. And I asked the question, how do you date someone when you don't even like yourself? Like, are they supposed to compensate? Look, I think the only conclusion I'm trying to, because there was a lot of thoughts that went from my mind. I was thinking of this particular ex, and I was like, I felt like I could go back in time and say, yo, no, leave that dude, man. Oh, it's not going to work out. Then again, I'm putting a lot of blame on myself. Like, you know, it's probably balanced out. Like, everyone came into a relationship with their own issues, and I'm focused on my own. And that's the hatred. Okay, the reason I was thinking about it is because I'm thinking about all those times where... So, I was thinking all those times where someone from the opposite sex shown an interest... And my first thought was, what's wrong with you? Is this some kind of scam? Am I being punked? And unfortunately, there was nothing you could have said or done that would have convinced me that something wasn't wrong with this picture. Despite the fact that I wanted connection. I wanted to be attractive to the opposite sex. But when it happened, I was like, what's going on? What's wrong with this picture? And because I'm thinking about how if I could go back in time and try to convince my younger self that the reasons why you don't get any bitches, well, first of all, is you keep calling, is you keep seeing them as bitches. That's probably the first one. But at the core, you don't like, you need to work on this whole self-love. You need to like your own self before you can attract the other, you can attract someone else. At the core of all your problems, I'm thinking, telling that to my younger self, and my younger self being, get the fuck out of here. He must say, are you high in the future? Do you smoke? Are you like doing dope? Is that what's going on? What? You're no longer Christian. No wonder y'all fucked up. I'm gonna listen to this nigga. Like, I'm gonna listen to this no bitch having ass nigga. Anyway, yeah, I could see my younger self arguing with me about not trusting me.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right. I felt the need to, okay, first of all, I'm going to read the definition of AI slop, because I've been seeing that term, no AI slop, all over the internet. And here's, according to Wikipedia, wait, hold on a second. There's the definition. Origin of the definition. Okay, no, you know what? I'll just read the first paragraph in Wikipedia. AI slop, also known simply as slop, is a digital content made with generative artificial intelligence. Sorry, ChatGPT. That is lacking in effort, quality, or meaning, and produced in high volume as clickbait to gain advantage in the attention economy. Okay, or earn money. It's a form of synthetic media, usually linked to the monetization in the creator's economy of social media and online advertising. Coined in the 2020s, the term has a pejorative connotation similar to spam. I see. Slop was selected as the 2025 word of the day by both Merriam-Webster and the American Dialect. AI slop has been variously defined as digital clutter, filter. I'm going somewhere there. Bear with me. Filler content prioritizing speed, quality over substance, and substance and quality, and shoddy unwanted AI content in social media, art, books, and search results. Jonathan Gilmore, a philosophy professor at the City University of New York, describes the material as having an incredibly banal, realistic style that is easy for the viewer to process. All right, why am I thinking about AI slop? Well, besides for the fact that I'm seeing all over the place, it's because the verdict is not out for me on what do I think about quote-unquote AI slop. And I bring this up because I, not too long ago, discovered someone did a video, and I'm not sure if it qualifies as AI slop, and they took a track by Ice Cube called My Summer Vacation and made a video for it. I loved it. The content creator's name, let me go. I think it's Mosky and Nikki Lynch, a production of Mosky and Nikki Lynch. And the reason why is because I've had that idea. I've thought about doing that. Uh-oh, computer's freezing. Oh, excuse me, gang. I've had that idea. They did it. Every time I listen to that song by Ice Cube, My Summer Vacation, because it's a story. It's storytelling by Ice Cube. It's one of his, in my opinion, one of his greatest storytelling tracks. Like, I have that. It's a frequent rotation, that track. And but I'm always visualizing the song in my head. My homie is gone. My homie got shot. He's a goner. Black St. Louis niggas want their corners back. Anyway, I gotta give props to these people, Righteous Entertainment, for making this video. And later I'll be talking about the book Red Rising and how some people have used AI to create images of some of the storylines in anime, whatever, but and then you read in the comment section and some asshole is always like, AI slop, don't put that shit over there. And you know what? Okay, I'll take back calling them an asshole because I'm feeling some folks are justified. Apparently, artists are getting ripped off from these images. I don't know the full... I don't know the full story. I'm just trying to say that I appreciated the people who created this Ice Cube video for my summer vacation. It's one of those things that if I had to know how, I would have done it myself. I don't know if I would have done it as well as they did, but it was what had a moment of great mind think alike. Except Durbines actually did the work. So let me be careful on how much credit I give myself here, right? I had the same idea. I just didn't do it or whatever. So I don't know, man. I don't know what to make about AI slop. I just know that I'm not the guy in the comment section saying, yo, this is some bullshit. I mean, yeah, there's some shit out there that does suck. Like I'm looking at an image of crab Jesus. Oh, shrimp Jesus. Not that I give a fuck, but I can see how bad it could be and whatnot. But whatever, man. Look, this fight against AI is reminding me of the fight against the internet. Some of you kids don't remember, man. Weren't around when that happened, man. I still remember when, people fought against the internet. And technology, gang. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what the fuck to tell you.
So, you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right, Kay, this is the last randomness before we get to the actual topic at hand. I mentioned I might have a cold or might be fighting a cold, but we'll see. That's why you're hitting the sneezing, runny nose, and all that shit, but whatever, man. I want to send a shout-out to... Shout out to black people reminding me that it's Black History Month. Not that I need a reminder, but who are actually doing things. And this particular content creator, her name is Zainet Official. Zainetv Official. And she raps this song, and I had to do a whole Google search to find it, right? It's called Black Leaders by Harlem Cashflow. And here, I'll play a small stitch bit because I don't want to get kicked off. I don't want to get in U2's bad grace, but he goes.
It was Martin, Malcolm, Huey, Alfred, Marcus, Richard, Jesse, Adam, Carlin, Garland.
There we go, that's it. All right, that's all you get, right. Those who are familiar with that song, links will be in the show notes. You can check it out yourself, right? But I remember listening to this, and it reminded me that this is the month where all of us should be remembering that
you must learn.
Yes, like Karis once said, you must learn. Look, you should be learning 365 days a year, but 365 days a year, yes. But at this particular month, yeah, man, put the fucking effort, man. Prioritize that shit. And look, it just felt great. Listen, one, gave me hope into the next generation, which I believe this was the intended, well, aside from, you know, showcasing her talent. But for me, I interpreted it as a reminder that, yo, the next generation got this. And at the same time, I want to send a shout out to another content creator. Her name is Ashley the Baroness. She's always killing it with the content. But this particular shout out has to do with the fact that one of her videos was to talk about Viola Desmond. And Viola Desmond is a well known in the is the black woman who shows up on the Canadian $10 bill. I think white Canadians see that shit and say, like, yeah, I guess we're good. I guess we're cool. We don't need to talk about slavery anymore. We did this for you, black people. But for talking about Viola Desmond, it's not frequent that our our black American siblings tend to think about us when it comes to Black History Month. about the contribution of black Canadians, but that's another longer story. Look, I was just flattered. That's what I'm trying to say. I was just flattered that, hey, man, I appreciate the acknowledgement and whatnot. And but one part that I like is she said that I am not going to compare her to Rosa Parks because in Canada, that's how they introduce her. She's the Rosa Parks of Canada. And it was her way of saying she has her own story. She doesn't need to be compared to someone else. She has her own contribution. But anyways, links will be in the show notes. This is my way of saying that. Happy Black History Month.
You must learn.
Keep learning, man. Keep learning. Yeah, keep learning. All right. That's it for quotables and randomness. Let's jump into final say. But before we do that, we are going to take a quick break. I'm thinking of titling this episode Speechless. Because that's how I felt after finishing the book Lightbringer by Pierce Brown. Now, what the fuck is Lightbringer? And yeah, no, I feel like Nas. Nas when he says that, I don't know how to start this shit. Okay. Here, let me go through what I wrote here. Before I talk about Lightbringer and how because that's what this whole final thing is going to be about, how I'm feeling speechless, don't know what to say. Like Nas at the beginning of New York State of Mind on the Illmatic album. Shame on you if you're like, what the fuck? What's a Nas and what's the Illmatic album? Oh my God, yeah. You must be down with Whitey. All right, I'm going to have a conversation with my therapist, and considering that I think the only purpose of my life is to distract me from my thoughts. So I'm going on a tangent, quick tangent, right? I had this image. I was, I don't know why I went through this thought exercise. I was wondering how much it would suck to be in a coma where I can't move my arms and legs, but I'm fully conscious. And all I got is me and my motherfucking thoughts. I was thinking about how, go crazy. I was thinking about how I wouldn't be able to move my arms, open my mouth, smell. I don't know if you're in the, you could smell shit or whatever, right? But how the thought of being in a coma had me thinking about how much I spend my, you know, shoving food down my mouth, can't roll a joint, can't watch a movie, can't read a book, can't beat my meat. It's just me and my goddamn thoughts. And I had that thought exercise, and it just made me think on how much I'm grateful for my favorite podcast, my favorite artist, favorite author, all you artists out there. And I don't want to say an insult to say that, yes, your content allows me to distract me from my own goddamn self. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know if it's a compliment. But at the core, if I'm listening to your art, if I'm consuming your art, a lot of it is just to distract me. It's just a quick thought about how, why do I love art so much? Anyways, this book was so good that I'm having these kind of thoughts. I'm obsessed by the storyline. Yes, getting back to Lightbringer. Lightbringer is the sixth book from the Red Rising series. It starts with a trilogy. Excuse me, my monitor's doing a little weird things right now. The fuck? What's going on? Oh, shit. Oh, I think my computer's confused. Oh, so much for... Maybe I just need to stop. Anyway, all right. So, Red Rising Trilogy. I was going to say Trilogy. Trilogy. Book one was Red Rising. Book two was Golden Sun. And book three was Morning Star. Morning what? All right, good. Grow up. And then it follows up with Iron Gold, then Dark Age, and then finally Lightbringer. There's some other books, prequel graphic novels and things like that, but we're just going to focus on those six. After that, Lightbringer, is there's the final book, which it's not out yet. It's called Red God. And because I don't believe, because I've been hurt before, I'm like, don't do me like George R. R. Martin, man. But whatever, man. Look, Lightbringer ended well, but it also created a vacuum for me. It left me speechless, gang. It left me speechless, and I just realized that. Let me describe what the fuck I'm talking about. Okay, it left me speechless. I'm going to give you a short summary of what the book is. Oh, there won't be any spoilers in there. In this final say about the book, but I am going to talk about thoughts around the book and my journey into finishing all six books. That's what final say is all about. This my journey, because I can't get myself to talk about the. There's so much I can say about the story, but I'd be all over the place. So I need to focus my thought. I needed to let it marinate. But yeah, so here we go. Here's a quick summary. I forgot to say, this book did something to me. I'm still figuring out what. And Red Rising, Red Rising is a brutal, color-coded sci-fi saga. I underline the word sci-fi. it was a needed distraction, right? Okay, so sci-fi saga about what happens when someone from the bottom decides to tear the system down from the inside. It's about power, rebellion, and the moral cost of trying to change the world, where people are constantly forced to choose between who they are and what survival demands of them. Kind of deep, eh? I won't lie, man. That summary, I used ChatGPT to spit it out. Again, don't know so much to think about it. It was. I didn't know how to summarize it without spoiling it. I have the, all right, so let's just get to the five things I am willing to talk about. Again, not a spoiler, but it's all about my journey into finishing the book. First one is, I find myself playing on repeat the quote from Lovecraft Country where Atticus, the character Atticus, you haven't seen Lovecraft Country? Shame on you. That's on 2-1 Black during Black History Month. And it was a quote that I didn't understand it until now, and I'll explain why. But it goes, stories are like people. Loving them doesn't make them perfect. You just try to cherish them and overlook their flaws. Let it marinate. Right. Now, why am I sharing this with y'all? It's because the, I'm going to use the word rumor. There is a rumor going around that the author of the book, Pierce Brown, is a Zionist or a supporter of Zionists. And I talked about this. In the previous episode. Shout out to those of you who heard the episode. Welcome back. he's still stuck around. And now, the cause of that rumor is that apparently after October 7th, during that terrorist attack in the Gaza Strip, that essentially launched more atrocity by Israel. But anyway, whatever, man. But apparently after that, Pierce Brown expressed his discontent against the terrorist attack while completely being oblivious to how fucked up shit is in that part of the world. Meaning, if you're going to take a side, you kind of, it's one of those, The Palestine-Israel conflict is one of those conflicts that you need to know. You need to understand the core before you take a side. Now, sure, you can talk about, like, yeah, I think killing kids is fucked up. I think terrorism is, yeah, sure, you stick to that. But there's a whole, before you turn it into those guys are bad people, there's a whole lot of context in that. I mean, I'm saying, look, man, it's one of those conversations, it's one of those topics that you need to be informed before you speak about it. Like, I'm comfortable saying Zionist is a fucked up movement. I'll take the consequences that comes with it. But based on what I said, okay, oh my God, I'm getting off topic. Now, there's been a lot of back and forth about whether he's a Zionist or not. I think he just said, hey, what happened October 7th was fucked up. I don't know, man, but since then, he's just been like another group on the internet who've like been committed to associate him with the Zionist movement. Now, I don't expect this dude to come on stage whatever. You know what? It's less him because I need to believe that in the author of this book should be well versed, should understand. At least take the time to understand the context of what's going on to make statements like he did. But again, there's like a movement determined to associate him with the Zionist movement. And yet when you do a Google search for whether he is a Zionist, there's not a lot of you can't make a strong case for it. Like, essentially, we'd have to, like, interview him and be like, what do you think? Now, I was willing to be like, yo, fuck it, man. Exactly like the quote says, man. Treat his story like people. Meaning, it's going to take a lot before I'm like, man, fuck this nigga. Fuck the author, right? But in addition to that, this is probably the longest point I'm going to make, the longest time I'm going to take for the first point, right? In addition to that, every time the question about whether he's a Zionist comes up in discussion forum, the fan base will jump in. Now, yes, we are all entitled to our own opinions, but the opinions that bothered me. Okay, here's my motto is, we're all entitled to our own opinion, but not every opinion is entitled to be heard. Shut up podcast. That's what strong belief in shut up podcast. Now, what the opinions that did bother me are the people who are like the people from the fan base who say shit like keep politics out of this shit. Those people bother me. And yeah, those people bother me. And keep politics out of this shit. Have you read the fucking story? That's what made part of what made this this story still appealing. I listened to the audiobook. Didn't actually read. I'm a big audiobook proponent person, right? And the narrator, man, let me find out the name of the narrator just so I can sound like I'm one of those professional podcasts. Narrator of Red Rising audio book. Okay, the audiobook narrator for Red Rising Saga by Pierce Brown is Tim Gerard Reynolds. Right, okay. So, he did read all six. Okay, that is him. Okay, when he reads it with a strong Irish accent. So at first, again, Fred introduced me to the book. I have no idea what the fuck it's about. All I know is a dude with a strong Irish accent. And I'm like, oh, the author must be Irish and he must be speaking from his experience, with oppression. That's what made this book so like, yeah, this, you know, because I know the Irish are like, you know, they're like, they support Palestine. Yeah, man, they know what's up. So I felt it was a member of the We've been oppressed, family, writing this book. So that's why the whole Zionist thing is like, oh, man. That's like finding out that Chris Brown made your favorite love song. It's like, fuck, man. I ain't trying to hear about love from this nigga. You might, but not me. Whatever, man. Anyway, so I I guess I should push the graphic audio version of the book, of the audiobook. My God. Woo, life-changing. Anyway, where was I going with this? Yes, what bothered me is the possible fandom who are on that, man, keep politics out of this shit. Or who are like, well, what's the big deal? So he's a Zionist, who cares? Whatever. I hate those people, man. And the reason that bothered me is because I'm thinking of a friend of mine who was talking about, a close friend of mine who I trust her judgment, and he was telling me about a friend of hers who was a supporter of JFK Jr. RFK Jr., is that his name? JFK? No, RFK. JFK. He's the one who got shot. RFK Jr., the fucking ludicrous guy, the crazy dude. I don't believe in germs. Man, I used to snort cocaine off toilet seats. Okay, but aren't you in charge? Whatever, man. That fucking guy. And the whole time she's speaking to me, she kept trying to say, wait, but he's not one of those Trump supporters. In my mind, I'm like, there's no fucking way you could disassociate those two. I'm saying this is because I don't want to, the more I get to know the fan base, if I find out they're on some fuck shit, then I'm going to keep my opinions to myself about how much I enjoyed this book. That's pretty much what I'm trying to say. But anyway, I'm giving you this long story to say that I've been conflicted about being a black dude expressing his love for this, not just a black dude, Palestine supporter, expressing how much he's enjoying this book. I'm not saying Pierce Brown needs to believe what I need to believe, but I need to know what he believes so I know whether I'm like dedicating a whole episode to talk about how much I enjoyed the fucking book. And the only reason I'm motivated is because I'm thinking of the TV series Lovecraft Country, and I believe part of the theme in there was how using fantasy books as escapism, despite the fact that the author might be, you know, on some bullshit. But again, I don't know. I don't know the full detail. Okay, again. Get back to the story, right? Stories are like people. Loving them doesn't make them perfect. You just try to cherish them, overlook their flaws. Did I read that right? That doesn't make sense. Cherish them and overlook their flaws. Should be an and in there. Oh, excuse me. You just try and cherish them, overlook their flaws. And I know Atticus didn't really say that, but it's, what's his name? Matt. What's the name of the actual author? But whatever, man. Fuck it, man. Black History Month. All right. Lovecraft Country. The author is... Oh, my God. I forget that I'm on a time limit. Lovecraft Country. This was supposed to be short. And the creator's name is... Matt... Oh. Program creator? Misha Green. Matt Ruff. Okay. Matt Ruff is who's credited for that line. But there are several writers for this one. Oh, wow. But whatever, man. I'm just going to associate it to Lovecraft Country. I feel like enjoying this book gets me closer to understanding Lovecraft Country, or one of the themes, one of the major themes in Lovecraft Country. There. Excuse me. This is unfiltered thought. I tend to go, all over the place. All right, okay. Now, number two. The Obsession High. The last time I've been disobsessed in a fictional world was Game of Thrones. And before that, it was The Matrix, where I'm like obsessed with the story, the meaning, what the, like when I read these stories, I feel like, that's another reason, right? I feel like I'm having a conversation with the author, with the writer about life. And I'm like fascinated. I'm like, how the fuck? Maybe it's because I'm new to this whole sci-fi fictional world, but to me, I'm like, all this shit came out of your mind, I'm impressed. I'm obsessed. Again, obsessed. And this ties to what I was saying at the beginning. This obsession allows me to distract myself from everyday life. That's another reason why I got into sci-fi, is because I needed a distraction from the real world. I was tired of hearing about Trump's bullshit, racism, or look, it was either sci-fi or drugs, or hard drugs. You know what I mean? Like heroin, crack, or not meth. I'm not that crazy. But yeah, it'd be one of those, like something, one of those things that you inject with a needle. And I chose sci-fi fantasy. Yo, by the way, I'm looking forward to Virtuous Con, but what's Virtuous Con? I'll talk about it on another episode. Three, anxiety versus curiosity. What drove me to finish this series was my curiosity. I was obsessed with this fictional world and the characters. A lot of me was like, I wonder what they're up to. Like they ended up having life. They ended up becoming like real people that I was curious about, that I wanted to, I was curious. Anyways, the reason I bring up anxiety is because this fucking book is like a roller coaster ride, man. And I hate roller coasters. There's a lot of ups and downs. There's a lot of like, okay, here's this beautiful character that you love that will make you very, 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 very likable, very enjoyable. Oh, kill them. There's a lot of like red weddings in this fucking book. A lot of like turns and twists. A lot of like, what's that word? Plot twists in this shit. What makes it enjoyable. Another thing too is you got to accept the fact that in order to enjoy the light, you need to endure the dark. In order to enjoy summer, you need to endure winter. Shit like that. Someone I remember mentioned like what they were describing. What's the difference between the first three books and the last three books? And even though the first three books have their ups, the first three books took me on a journey. Like there was a lot of like, please don't. Oh man. There was a lot of like ups and downs. There was a lot of my anxiety was triggered. I don't like feeling anxiety, but there was a lot of time this book was like triggering my anxiety. There was time where I'm like, okay, I'm not going to read. I'm going to stop reading because, I used to have, this is actually an ex, right? I have an ex who we would watch, it'd be scary movies or movies with a lot of anxiety, and she would get up and walk away from the TV and then peek to see what's going on. And I'm not saying to make fun of her, but I understand that sentiment of, I used to do that with Game of Thrones. Like when I'm watching by myself, I would pause scenes because the buildup was just like, it was just driving me, and I just pause, breathe, and then unpause. So, because of my anxiety, you know, I'm a highly sensitive person. My anxiety went through the roof, right? Sometimes I think I ingest this book more deeply than the author intended for it. I mean, unless they're, whatever, man. But anyways, but I remember, yes, the comparison between book one and three, one, two, three, is one, two, three ends with, and they all live happily ever after. And then, four, five, and six is like the adult version. It's like, hey, shit gets real. It's a continuation, but it's like, yeah, we're going to get more real. We're going to get more. I say all this to say that book three ended perfectly. Perfect for me, perfectly. I didn't want to ruin that, and they lived happily ever after. Because I know for the rest of the books, we're going to be like, and there's no such thing as happily ever. Welcome to the grown-up, welcome to adult life. I took a very long break between finishing book three and starting book four. That's what I'm trying to say. And my anxiety was telling me no, but my curiosity was saying yes. My curiosity is what got me through. Look, I braced myself for this shit. Again, I fucking hate roller coasters. I hate any. This one time I went on a scary ride I did, this was like, I was probably in high school. I went on a scare ride. The only reason I did that is because I was trying to bang my girlfriend. My girlfriend at the time. She was like, please go in for me. And I knew going for me meant, you trying to get this pussy or not? And I did it. And I survived it. But I did it but there was an external motivation. but in this case, it was curiosity. Yeah. My anxiety and curiosity were at war with each other during this book, and I'm grateful for it. Oh, I wrote, I was worried about disappointing. Okay, I've been hurt before, kids. I've been hurt before, all right? And I remember when I finished book one thinking there's no way book two is going to be as good. Fuck that. I'm going to be let down and shit like that. Whatever, I'm going to give up. Then I read book two, and I was satisfied. Then I told myself, book three, there's no way it's going to be as good as people say it is. I'm going to feel let down, and I'm not going to do it. I give up. Book three ended up being good. And that's why I was like, look, man, fuck that. Three times a charm. No way book four is going to be as good. I don't trust these people. People are talking shit. I'm going to be disappointed. Four, five, and six were as good as people said it was. What's important, though, not to allow people to spoil it for you. It was well written. It was well done. It was well done, man. Four, the lonely reader problem. First, I got to say shout out to everyone who read the book and had the discipline to not spoil it for others. Shout out to you people. I say the lonely reader the lonely reader problem is because I was not aware of the, like on Reddit, I kept going on Reddit to find out more, to learn more shit, but I was not aware there was a book discussion portion, but I remember always wanting to go on, after finishing a chapter, wanting to go online to learn more. But problem is, every time I did that, I risked spoilers. Because there's a lot of motherfuckers out there who will read your posts, and their first thought is, wait till you get to page, or wait till you get chapter, or you think that's bad, wait till you get to this, you're not fucking helping. They think they're creating a buildup, but no, man, you're ruining the experience. There was a lot of people who meant well, but ended up partly spoiling the fucking story. There's a lot of that. This is one of those books I wish I read it in a book club, but I didn't, whatever, man, it was tough. Shout out to everyone who made an effort not to spoil it, and middle finger to all you motherfuckers who did. That's why whenever anyone talks about Red Rising, you gotta look for the no spoilers. I promise there will be no spoilers in this one here. That's a thing. Okay, sorry. I'm reading my notes trying to make sense out of it. I had a lot of questions. I was obsessed with the world. I had so many questions. I did that with Game of Thrones. My motivation to read the Game of Thrones book was because I remember watching season one. I'm like, I'm not fucking waiting a whole year to find out what happened. Read the book. Anyway. Oh, yeah. A middle finger to fandom.com, man. Specifically, their mobile site. There's a part where they'll talk about the characters. They provide a lot of information about the characters in the book, but there's a section where they talk about where they display the status of a character, whether they're dead or alive. Well, on their mobile site, on the desktop site, it protects. It's like you got to do a lot of shit to find out to get there's a lot of spoil. The mobile site is filled with spoilers because they have. I don't know, their coders didn't have look, man, fuck fandom. That's what I'm saying, man. There's been a lot of storylines that were spoiled because I watched the mobile version of their site and the spoilers were in there. They can't control, they don't block out the spoilers as well on the mobile site as they do on the desktop site. But yeah, man, it was a lonely journey reading it, but I'm glad, that's another reason I'm glad that I finished reading it because now until we get to Red God, then I'm spoiler free. Last one, number five, why I liked it. And that's the part I was speechless about. But I was able to come up with two things. Look, it's deeper than why I like it. I get like that, right? When my thoughts are all over the place. Like I've been trying to make sense on why I liked the book. And I've been like going through YouTube and TikTok clips of people talking about raving, talking about the book. And I've been like figuring out my own thoughts by listening to them. But the two things I can say, I will say to why I like this book is one, there's a lot of gangster shit in there. Sure, it's sci-fi shit, but there's a lot of gangster. There's a lot of like in rap music. A rapper will brag about how they're the ones to fuck, dude, not to fuck with. No, I'm not the one. I'm not the one. Me and my crew will show you I'm not the one. In this book, they'll explain. They'll put a lot of detail. There's character A and character B. Character B did this, that, and that, and that. And by the time you're done reading, it's like, oh, character A shouldn't have fucked with character B. There's, again, a lot of gangster shit. Two, a shitload of quotables. A whole lot of quotables, and I made a list of quotables. I won't tell you where they came from, who says it, as a way not to spoil it, but I'm just gonna read it out. And this is just like the first one that I wrote. There's a way a lot more, but this is the one that I'll end this final say segment with. And first one is, liars make the best promises. That is the point to all this, to make you terrified of a world where you do not rule. Security and justice aren't given. They are made by the strong. I know this one. Love is for the weak. Again, the shit that entertained myself, that entertained me may not entertain you, right? Love is for the weak. The only thing you and I have in common is our hunger. You think I cannot be satisfied? That I always yearn for more? But look in the mirror, you'll see the same man looking back at you. Dreaming is easy. War isn't. The race. What a beautiful. Okay. This race. What a beautiful monster. By race, they mean caste, but whatever. This race. What a beautiful monster. They carry all of humanity's strength except one, empathy. And this one, I thought it was some gangster shit. Maybe it's one of, you'll need the context for to understand why I felt like it was some strong gangster shit, but it goes, the character says, he was a good man, but good men die. To free them, to protect them, we must be savages. So give me evil, give me darkness, make me the bloody damn devil. That's some gangster shit in that book, man. It's some, yeah, anyways, this sums up why I like the book and my journey into finishing the book. With that said, this concludes today's episode. Website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. Before I end the show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Rouge et bleu. Rouge et bleu.
I represent a hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé Québec. I also represent a hold it down for black folks who say yes when they heard Big Rube ask the question,
are you an outcast?
Again, if at any point in this episode you found yourself saying, man, that was a stupid idea, that was a stupid stupid way to say it, or I like what he said, but I didn't like the way he said it, I want to remind you that it's my goddamn podcast. It's my goddamn podcast. Thank you for listening, and remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.
I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black.